County Commission is back from recess. Our next order of business is a budget hearing. And Chapter 50-540, Subsection 5, and then Subsection 1 states, the budget officer or the county commission in counties of Class 1 shall hold public hearings before the preparation and adoption of the budget document. Whenever the budget officer recommends any decrease or reduction in the estimate of any department officer, commission, or other agency of the county, he shall give special notice to the officer or agency of the decrease or reduction, and the officer or agency is entitled to be heard thereon by the county commission. Very simply stated, before the county can enter into the preparation of the budget, let alone a budget document, we must conduct a public hearing and allow any member of the public to have their say, if you will, regarding the next year's budget, which will be the 2014 budget. So at this time, I would ask if there's any member of the public that is here that would like to speak to the upcoming 2014 budget. Realize we don't have documents prepared. We haven't had meetings regarding the budget. This is the kickoff of the budget preparation itself. And again, by law, we're required to host this meeting. Is there anyone present that would like to discuss the 2014 budget or any part of it? Let the record show that we don't have anyone present that at this time would like to discuss the 2014 budget. Also, let me announce that we will begin as soon as we can get our working sessions in order and coordinated with the budget officer, sooner rather than later, hopefully, on the budgetary process. I know that, if I'm not mistaken, the budget officer has until November 15th, really, to present all documents to the commission, but we're really hopeful that we can start that process sooner. We received a copy of what those requests were, so we do have that in hand. Either commissioner have a comment? That will conclude the budget hearing as scheduled in accordance with Missouri law for today. Next item of business is bid recommendation for auction services. Mr. Erickson.
Thank you, gentlemen. Hello again. This item on the agenda was the result of a request for me and Road and Bridge Coordinator Randy Hayes, who is the point of contact for this task, for us to make a recommendation based on a directive that I had been handed from you all to do a mild phone quote, if you will, request for auctioneer services to respond to a request for us to gather, a request from that I had put out requesting this service to handle our surplus property auction coming up scheduled on November the 2nd. This request was given to me earlier this month on Wednesday, October the 2nd. I sent out an email quote request rather formally to several auction services, seven to be exact, that I was able to locate via certain efforts in the internet and phone books, etc. Gave those services one full week to respond to that email request on Wednesday, October the 9th. Subsequent to the new deadline, I had received four formal responses from the following auctioneering services: Mountain Country Auctions, Forsyth, Holt Auction Service in Spokane, Easterly Auction Company in Springfield, McKnight Auction Services in Rogersville. I have copies of this bid tab for each of you if you'd like to see. The responses were pretty cut and dry. The requirements within the request included that the response would not be acceptable unless advertising costs, etc., were included. A request was made to offer a percentage And the percentages are as follows. So these responses: Mountain Country Auctions LLC here in Forsyth responded with a percentage fee of 1% with zero miscellaneous fees. Holt Auction Service in Spokane responded with a 7% zero miscellaneous fees. Easterly Auction Service in Springfield responded with 15% zero miscellaneous fees. And the last response from Ignite Auction Services in Rogersville was also 15%, but they made a they also included miscellaneous fees of $1,700 to $2,000 for advertising. So technically, that one might not have been allowed based on the instructions that they were to include their advertising fees in their percentage of quote, but the point is moot. I had a deadline for issuing a selection determination on last Friday, but due to certain scheduling issues that we ran into, I had made an agenda request to formally make this recommendation to you all this morning and ask for a vote. As a reminder, the anticipation for the total cost of the county for this task, we think, falls well below the required bid limits. We put this out. Obviously, my response was to your request, moreover, as a courtesy to local services so that they might be allowed to participate in this annual event. Randy, do you have anything that you'd like to add?
Not at this time.
We would formally recommend the lowest response, and that would be Mountain Country Auction Services, LLC.
Motion to accept Mountain Country Auction Services, LLC, as the low bidder for the county auction.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to accept Mountain Country Auction Services, LLC, as the low bidder and to award, I would assume, this bid to them. Discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen. I will notify the participants.
Thank you, Mr. Erickson. Thank you, Mr. Hayes.
Thank you.
And thank you, Sheriff. I know you were involved in that as well. I see you out there. remind us again, if you gentlemen will, when the date and time is for this auction.
November 2nd, and we were going to move the time up to a 9 o'clock start time.
So November 2nd at 9 a.m., and where's the auction going to be held?
At our location there at Kazee Mills.
At the Kazee Mills right. Property.
We'll put that address in there also.
Thank you. Next issue we have is the double taxation issue. James Strahan had requested to be part of the agenda. Mr. Strahan, if you could join us. And good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. An issue has become seemingly a hot topic about what's been printed in the newspaper. And the headline read that mistakes collector saves residents from paying penalties due to former assessor's mistakes. Well, in this case that's referred to in here, there was an attorney general's opinion that never mentioned any mistakes. There was a court case that never mentioned any mistakes. And those two processes that occurred never even clarified the statute that the assessor put on this assessment roll of Taney County. In this article, there's many, many statements that kind of extends the truth to a point of misbelief. There's one on the first paragraph, there's one place here that says more than 380 taxpayers who were dropped from the county tax rolls by former assessor James Strahan in 2011. Every one of those 380 citizens, to clarify that point, paid a tax bill for 2011. If they didn't, they're on a delinquent roll. But this statement here says that they were dropped from the county tax roll. It's a little concerning that statements like that are allowed into the newspaper. I haven't, and I want to make a point here. I've not been assessor since August 31st at midnight. We're under a new realm of assessor here now, and the powers of change was there once the assessor takes office. On over in the article, it says, in 2011, Strahan decided that a new state statute, there's no new state statutes involved. The statutes are there. There's several statutes that cover the situation. This all came about, and I don't understand the premise of the language in the newspaper. It says that County Clerk Donna Neely and Collector Sheila White will have to follow the order issued by West, which was Judge West, that kind of implying that Mr. Strahan had nothing to do with the case. I followed all the terms of Mrs. West's court order that came out of West Plains. Not that I agreed with it, but it was a court order to be followed. The issue came of double taxation, that the citizens of annexed properties and on those 380 tax bills paid for a fire protection service with the city of Forsyth. But the courts have come back and ordered them to pay another tax service for fire to Central Taney County Fire District. As the assessor, I've sat for 16 years changing annexations throughout the county and going above and beyond our needs. I've got a mapping department that looks at these things extensively to see that double taxation does not occur. I don't believe in it. That's the process that I've been through for 16 years, that when someone goes into a city with fire protection, they automatically come out of the district that wants to charge the tax. That occurs with Hollister and Western. That occurs with Branson and Western. Never have an issue other than coming to Forsyth and Central Taney County. There is a statute that talks about numbers that says Forsyth doesn't have the amount of numbers to do this process. Well, in that procedure, it doesn't leave Forsyth and Central free and clear. I mean, you go back to the general statutes whenever a statute is not particular. That's what I've always found and always been told. The first issue came forward when a citizen had said to me, I don't want to pay both sides of this fire protection. I'm paying the city of Forsyth to take care of me. I don't want to pay Central. That occurred way back in 2009 and 10. I'm just gathering dates here. And I looked at it, and we have code changes that shows that of both, and we corrected some. We corrected some. When we were made aware, whenever talking to the Secretary of State's office about some of this, they said, when you are made aware and can fix something, fix it. If it's unrelatable, fixable the previous year or whatever. But in reading the newspaper, this story doesn't seem to want to go that way. Then it wanted to go back and talk about... Never did go back and see that I was approached by Central Taney County Fire and said, we want those taxes for fire protection or there will be lawsuits filed. Of course, there was many letters and meetings. It was kind of got a little bit hostile, maybe. But I wouldn't change it back. I said, it's realms on double taxation. I don't know where the letter to the Attorney General came from. I didn't request it. At the time of assessment, it was nobody else's business, I don't think, to request it. I received a copy of the Attorney General's opinion. I believe it was 16, 18, 20 days after it had arrived here in Taney County and the tax books had been made. Don't know why that time lapse went in. And then down here it's got a quote from the county clerk that says, it is a shame that these issues even happened. I was elected to work on issues like this. I was elected to straighten out, according to Missouri State statute, any of these things. And I don't feel it necessary to contact the Attorney General on daily routines. I just feel like I'm elected. I go through the county attorneys and I read the statutes myself, but to send everything to the Attorney General is kind of ridiculous. And then here in the article, it keeps referring to Strahan's, that's how it's labeled, Strahan's mistake. It don't appear to be any mistake that I've seen if it did, the Attorney General and the courts missed it because they never mentioned it in either one of their decisions about a mistake. They was asked for resolve to the issue. They wasn't asked to if there were... It just never was mentioned. I think the Attorney General's opinion, I don't have it here with me, but I'm positive. I read it many, many, many times. I even read it in my sleep at night. It suggested could do it this way, could do it that way, could do it this way, but try to avoid double taxation was in the Attorney General's letter. Now, that may not be verbatim word, but that's what it says. It says we would hope that double taxation is not the issue and that for the two districts to work it out. I respect Western Taney County Fire with Hollister. We code everything, our annexations, like general coding in the state of Missouri. And Western and Hollister works it out. We do the same thing with Branson. We don't, when one goes out, and they work out their issues. This is the only district that has come forward and filed lawsuits and everything instead of working it out with the city involved, which is the city of Forsyth. So I'm here today to express concern with why an article slanting the words and the true meaning of what the Attorney General and the Mrs. West has said to do. It doesn't have the appearances of what truly happened. Actually, it don't have any appearance of whatsoever, but of maybe a writer's opinion and a editor's opinion of the Taney County Times. Because I'm seeing things that wasn't in those type orders. I don't believe there was anything allowing double taxation other than this judge's opinion, this judge's order. It was an order, and now I understand there's another order involved. Well, as the assessor, I followed the first order. The other two office holders is not following the first order. So I just come to this county commission because I've been hearing things on the radio. Their role in this is nil. I see in here about penalties. That's nil. That's the collector stuff. That's statewide. There's been 36% collected on many, many citizens of Taney County on delinquent taxes. There's been 18%. I've always said it's extremely too high and should not be such a thing. When a person don't pay their taxes, most of the time they're in a hardship. But we charge them through the collector's offices 36%, which has absolutely, listening to the radio over the last 2 days, nothing to do with the county commission. Nothing to do with the assessor. This is provided by the collectors through state statute, I believe it's, yes, I believe it's, and the legislators needed to correct that. If I'm having a hard time, that's what you call kicking me while I'm down, I believe. That's just an old saying I've always heard, to charge such ridiculous, and I will put that word right in the minutes, interest rates and penalties to these people that can't pay their taxes or has had a hard, difficult time through illness or anything else. And but that's why I'm here. I'm just hearing so much media that doesn't make any sense if you want to sit down as a sensible person and think about what's going on. But like I say, I don't know where the first Attorney General's letter came from, and I don't even know why it was presented. It just showed up. And I don't know that it was requested by Central Taney County Fire. I believe it was requested by elected officials here out of the courthouse. So that's my say on what's going on here. And I just, like I say, the paper reading this, I've been attacked by the paper two or three times, and I haven't been assessor for now for, I don't know what today, 15, 45 days. And it has the appearances that I'm still here doing things. Like I say, the assessor is set up for any mistake to be corrected by state statute. There is no mistake that can't be corrected. But I'm not finding anywhere where this has been labeled by a mistake other than the Taney County Times, the writer, and the editor of the Taney County Times. And so my question to you gentlemen is, why do you feel like it's your role on penalties and interest that I'm hearing across the media? Is there any truth in that? I just don't understand. Reading the Taney County Times and listening to the media, I'm not finding anything through my daily routine for 16 years that matches up, that says any of this stuff's correct.
Let me catch my breath and I'll answer.
That 45 days.
You can correct me or I will stand corrected if I am mistaken. But I believe this began when you removed the codes from those individuals that lived in property that had been annexed by the city of Forsyth that lived within the area of, or known as, Central Taney County Fire Protection District. And that code was for the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. And I understand that your reasoning was because you felt it was double taxation, correct?
That's correct.
And there are a number of people that would agree with that, obviously, across this state. I believe the next thing that occurred was that Central Taney County Fire Protection District filed a lawsuit against the county assessor, the county clerk, and the county collector, seeking to have those taxes restored to the district from those taxpayers. And that drug on for a long period of time. And there were also issues of punitive damages that were requested through the attorney that represented the Central Taney County Fire Protection District. I was contacted by a member of that fire district as to our involvement. I told him the county commission didn't have involvement, that there were elected officers that provided the taxation services for the county, and it was the three that they had brought lawsuit against. But end result, and long story short, county commission met with members of the fire district board of directors, and we came to the reasoning that if all these lawsuits would be dropped, the county commission, in accordance with the fire district and in accordance with and collaboration with the three elected officials who had been sued, would ask for a declaratory judgment for the court to make a decision regarding this issue. I knew at the time, because you expressed yourself, that you weren't real happy with that, but that you would go along with what the court said. I'm correct, right?
That's correct.
The three elected county officials were involved in the taxation process, which is the assessor, the county clerk, and the collector, had counsel. The county commission had counsel, both of which were represented and represented all of us at that hearing that was held in West Plains by, I wrote down her name.
Sandra West.
Sandra West. And all agreed that we would abide by whatever the judge handed down. I got a copy of the judgment here, and quite frankly, had not intended to make comment or many comments at all until yesterday. I started receiving a lot of phone calls. Actually, it was last night. I didn't get home till last night on my home phone. For those of you who tried to reach me on my cell phone, I haven't had one since 10 o'clock yesterday morning. But plenty of people did reach me in regards to this, in regards to interest and penalties, which I will get to eventually. But I have a copy of the judgment that was handed down, and we have it filed April 17, 2013. And the decision of the court was pretty simple. All officials of Taney County ordered to levy the taxes, not levied previously, in favor of the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, as provided in Section 321.270 for the years 11 and 12, and to pay same to the Central Taney County Fire Protection District, and to the extent payment is received from the taxpayers. No order to pay any penalties, no order to pay any interest, merely to pay those taxes that were due for those years as a part of this order. The Taney County Commission, the Taney County Assessor, Taney County Clerk, Taney County Collector shall comply with Section 137.040 to the extent it applies in assessing, levying, and collecting the taxes. 137.040 states and commands us to go to the local court and to get a ruling there. Now, why the law is written this way, I don't know, but that's what the law says. And we would not be in compliance with the court order if we did not comply with that section of the order that ordered us to do that. So under Chapter 137.040, it directs that the county commission shall present a petition to the circuit court of the county, setting forth the facts and specifying the reasons why such other taxes or taxes should be assessed, levied, collected, so forth and so on, which was basically what we were already ordered to do. That's why we went to circuit court here. That's why we were put in the awkward situation of asking this court to make a decision. So some people have said, well, we're asking the court to double assess those taxpayers. That's not the case at all. We are complying with the court order that came down through Judge West and West Plains. That's our only involvement. We don't want to take sides between the three county officers that were involved in this lawsuit, and we didn't want to take sides with Central Taney County Fire Protection District. because we weren't involved as a county commission. But nowhere in this order does it say that there was any errors that were made. It's just a judgment based upon all the facts, as I understand it, all the facts from both sides were presented to the judge before that judge made her decision. Now, in looking back on the Attorney General's opinion, and I, too, do not know who requested the Attorney General's opinion. It was not the County Commission. Not to the best of my knowledge, anyway. Certainly not with my vote did this come about. But I find it interesting, as you read through this and as they investigate every statute that they can pull up regarding a fire district, they make certain comments. Therefore, by its plain terms, it could apply to the City of Forsyth's annexation of the area in Taney County. It could apply. Later on, in contrast, there's no conflict between the fire protection annexation statutes in Chapter 321 and 72.418.2. By its plain terms, 72.418.2 could apply to this situation. And there's no other statute to provide guidance if it does not apply. Further on, we have found no statute or case law that prohibits each entity from taxing the annexed area. And it goes on and on. It even states, therefore, this case supports the idea that both entities have power to provide services and tax the annexed area, even if that results in wasteful duplication and inappropriate double taxation. These are the words coming from the Attorney General's office. Final statement that was made within this Attorney General's opinion, and I'm leaving a lot out, but these are the lines that I highlighted this morning. The court seemed to prefer a solution where the two entities reach an agreement as to how to allocate fire protection services and taxes in the annexed area, but there is no requirement that they do so. In the finding of the AG's office, at least in the opinion that was passed down and finally a copy was given to our counsel, who in turn gave it to us, there's no mention of any errors, Mr. Strahan, in answer to the questions that you raised, at least of us. What I see, this is my perspective, your feelings were there was double taxation and there shouldn't be double taxation. There were differing opinions. We went to the court, and the court said, you're going to assess, extend, and collect these taxes. Basically, that's what was said. As I understand it from your comments this morning, you have, in fact, carried out your role before you left as assessor.
That's correct.
Now, to the best of my knowledge, the taxes have not been extended and have not been collected in accordance with the first court decision, as you pointed out. The second court decision is merely going to be, or should be, a mirror of what was presented in the first court, at least according to the law that I copied off this morning, that we were commanded to follow, if you will. Now, a judge can do, I would suppose, whatever a judge can do, one way or the other regarding any issue. But as far as penalties and interest, and as far as the amount that's being collected, I agree wholeheartedly with you. I think it's obscene. I think, and I realize that the only thing that we can do to change that is to pursue legislative change and to have the House and Senate agree and have the governor sign a bill that will lessen the atrocious penalties that are charged to people that pay late penalties. On this issue particularly, James, it's my opinion that the judge did not order penalties and interest be fined. The judge ordered that those taxes for those years be assessed, collected, extended, and collected. And if I'm not mistaken, Missouri law gives this county commission the ability, if so requested, to waive any interest and penalties if they are assessed against taxes that are paid late. I do not see in any way that I can envision it or interpret it that anybody that will be assessed and taxes asked for those prior years should be assessed any penalties or any interest. How can we as a responsible governmental entity say, you owe me principal and interest on a payment you didn't make and I didn't bill you for. I think that's utter nonsense. And at least with my vote, if the collector assesses a penalty and interest on any of these tax statements, if in fact we ever get that far, I'm going to vote to waive them. And the other commissioners are going to have to speak for themselves. I'm sorry, one of our commissioners had a personal emergency and he had to leave. He got a phone call, if y'all are wondering where he stepped out to. And unless I'm mistaken, and I'll ask anyone here to correct me if I'm wrong, we have that ability. And if, in fact, these are levied, and I hope that the collector does not levy them, because I don't believe that she was ordered to do so, but if she does, I'm going to vote to waive them. Again, if we ever get to that point. Now, there's been a lot of things that have been said, and the calls that came to me last night came from a radio show that occurred on Sunday. And let me assure you, the county commission is not the agency that has been pursuing this. The county commission is not the agency that has asked the court to force these individuals to pay taxes that were owed for those years. What we did do, in collaboration with all three elected officials that are involved and in collaboration with the Central Tane County Fire Protection Board of Directors, was to ask for the court to tell us legally what we were supposed to do. That was our involvement. And if I haven't muddied the waters up enough with that long tirade of comments, I may make it longer. But, Danny, do you have some comments?
Well, as most all fires that get started, they seem to roll out of control. The article in the newspaper, I don't read the Taney County Times unless somebody asks me to, that they've seen something in there that concerns me, and then I read it to see what it was. So I find that I turn on the TV set last night, and there's KSPR. They're covering this story on a mistake. And listen to the radio station, and they mention that they're going to be talking about this mistake. And whenever I'm talking about the snowball effect of this, when there is no mention of mistake in what was issued by the Attorney General's office or by the judge's ruling. And it seems like that if you might say, a political ploy or pat me on the back or do something for me for being standing up for the citizens when this whole thing is directed by a judge and to be followed by a court order. It doesn't have anything to do with those individuals that want the credit for helping out these 380 citizens. I do not believe in double taxation. I do not believe in the penalties that are would be applied or tried to be applied in this case to these individuals. So, Mr. Houseman, as you stated before, you can see where my vote would be on waiving of the penalties and interest. So, sometimes they had an issue on Fox News that just so happened it was on last week, and they were talking about the fact that that news reporters sometimes grab the story just to get it on the get it out there first and to make a statement, whether it be true or non-true, because it kind of fades in the distance as time goes on. And they were in this panel, the five, and they were criticizing different news reporters for taking that tactic. As I said before, this thing seems to have snowballed out of hand, and the real facts of the case are in what we have in the Attorney General's opinion and the judge's order, and we have followed the law as the county commission.
Well, regarding the specifics of the size of city, and I think that's a city of 2,500 or less, there is no law that says how to handle this situation. So the AG's opinion, if I'm not mistaken, states that since there is no law, both have the ability to tax. That's what I get out of all the information that's contained within that opinion that I read through again this morning. Cities over 2,500, it is specifically addressed, and there are remedies.
That's correct, and the only thing that bothersome by the 2,500 count is that doesn't say every 10-year census. It just says 2,500, and the city of Forsyth has added huge amounts of housing and huge amounts of citizenry since the last census, but it doesn't address that in the statutes. It just uses the number 2,500. So we're at, I think there was 145 citizens short, so who knows what the census of Forsyth is at this time.
I'd like to make a comment.
Excuse me just a minute, Donna.
Certainly.
Do you have anything else you wish to say?
Not in regards to what Mr. Trahan.
We did not schedule any time for any comments for the public, but I believe that since public is here and perhaps has opinions that they wish to express, including other elected officials within the courthouse, I would be delighted to allow that. Are you willing to do that as well? Thank you. Just for clarification, Donna, would you like to speak? If so, please go ahead.
I think I'll let the public speak first, if there's anyone else who wants to speak first.
Ms. Neely has said before she speaks, she'd like to ask if there's anybody within the public that have any comments regarding the issue at hand. If so, please come forward and we'll take your comments. Anybody? Come on out. If you'd come up to where the microphone is, I would appreciate it. And how are you today? For the record, because we are keeping minutes and we are broadcasting this, would you please give your name?
My name is Patricia Dooley. I'm a resident of Kissimmee Mills, also a registered voter and a concerned citizen. I've been down here since 07, and I really have to tell you, I'm ashamed to tell people right now that I'm from Taney County. My brother up in St. Louis last night was teasing me about the hillbillies down here and the way we run our government. And I'll really be ashamed. Everybody is acting, you know, there was a mistake made somewhere. It had to be a mistake, okay? I don't care whose it is or anything else. Let's forget about that. Let's just fix the problem. And don't let this drag on. I mean, we're being made fun of anyway. So let's grow up. You don't like the newspaper article? Sue them. Or go and discuss it with them so that you can get your ideas out. If somebody else doesn't like it, they can do it. But don't sit here and just nitpick at everybody. I mean, I'm sitting back there, and I'm wondering, why are we wasting our time? Why are we wasting my tax money? And I will admit my taxes aren't that high. But I still say, you know, what's going on? Let's grow up. I mean, I'm beginning to think we're in Washington, D.C., where there's something wrong with the water and the air. Is that being filtered down to here to us? I'll be honest with you, I'm just disgusted with all of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Anybody else present that has comments regarding this issue that they would like to make? Seeing none, Donna?
I just want to let you know that I've been in contact with my attorney, and I'm not sure if the commission is aware of the fact that we were asked not to proceed with following the judgment of Sandra West until after the issue of taking this to the second court regarding 137.040. We have been following the instructions of that attorney, and so I believe we've acted appropriately. I agree with James in ethics that I do not agree with double taxation However, the court is ruling that that is legal. And I believe that we all followed it, swore an oath to abide by those laws, and so I think that we should all do that. My comment was in regards to I wish that we had proceeded with attorney opinions, written attorney opinions prior to taking any action, and I have said that to James prior, so it's nothing new. I just wish we had proceeded that way. It would have been easier on all of us. I do understand Sheila has concerns with, and it is in her office, but her concerns are that the taxpayers not have to pay penalties. We're struggling with trying to find out how to comply with those laws and with the judge's orders. I spent a lot of time talking to my attorney this weekend regarding those very issues, and she plans on taking action to resolve those issues. So I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk about any of those, just in generality, that she is working on those issues. But that's where I stand.
Thank you,
Happy to fulfill the order. I do understand I have to wait for an order from our current assessor, because in discovery, after Board of Equalization was concluded, we found that there were other properties that were improperly the tax code was changed improperly, and we did bring those to you. After BOE was closed, reopened BOE, or actually we did it through the commission, ordered those changes, and now we're trying to determine whether or not those would have to be dealt with this order, and we're not sure until our attorney gives us advice. So we're happy to comply with that order, but we are following directions for our attorney, trying to make sure we don't get into some more legal issues.
Right. We would have already, I think, this issue would have been concluded and been done with had it not been for that section of Sandra West's order that said that we would comply with 137.040, which ordered us to go to this court.
In fact, I think you checked past emails, I contacted both Frank, both attorneys and the commission, advising them I had concerns that we were holding off. Not that I wanted to proceed with the order, but I swore an oath to do that, so I will abide by those laws.
Thank you, Donna.
So we can get them changed.
Sheila?
I didn't plan on being here this morning. It's probably about the last place I care to be. I've got a lot of work to do in the office and short time to get there. But
it's not that far.
Yeah, it is.
I'm just kidding.
I know. Thank you.
I'm just kidding.
Thank you, Ron. I needed that. I felt like I need to answer some things that were said. The order that Judge West gave, I had no part of, and you know, we didn't have any meeting with the officials or anything to determine that's what we were going to do. Your attorney, Ms. Keck, did come and told me that the only provision that she could find that could order me to send the delinquent 2011 and 12 was from statute 137.040, and that statute, and I discussed extensively with her that I felt the customer had already paid their tax bill and paid it on time, that they shouldn't be billed with a bill that's going to be considered delinquent at that time, and that statute 137.040 that she gave me was that if the county commission were to petition upon the request of the county commission, after they find evidence, such commission being first satisfied that there exists a necessity for the assessment, levy, and collection of these taxes, they shall present a petition to the circuit court of his county, setting forth the reasons and so forth. Now, that's why that would be in that order, according to your attorney, is that that's the only provision she found that this could take place, was if the county commission petitioned the judge, and it must be done. And I didn't catch this until we found out we had to go through the prosecutor, because the statute says the prosecuting attorney or county counselor of any county. And to my knowledge, Ms. West is not that. So now I'm assuming from what you said, they had to now go through their prosecutor to go through and try to
In Ms. West's order, on the back page where it says, now therefore it is hereby ordered, adjudged, and decreed, number two, She says the Taney County Commission, Taney County Assessor, Taney County Clerk, and Taney County Collector shall comply with Section 13704. There was no may. There was no might look at. It says that we shall comply. That's part of her order. To the extent it applies to assessing, levying, and collection of taxes. So council told us, based upon that order, that was the reasoning then that we needed to petition. That was why we found it necessary to take it to them, because we were ordered to do so.
But we, the county commission, had Ms. Keck go to the judge with this request.
Actually, Ms. Keck does not represent the commission on this issue. Frank Cotty does. But Ms. Keck, in the court case that went before Judge West, represented, or so it says, it says, now on this 27th day of March 2013 comes on for hearing a petition for declaratory judgment filed by plaintiff, County of Taney, Missouri. Plaintiff, County of Taney, Missouri, appears by its lawyer, Frank Cotty. Defendants, James Strahan, County Assessor, Taney County, Missouri, Donna Neely, County Clerk, Taney County, Missouri, and Sheila Wyatt, County Collector, Taney County, Missouri, appear by their lawyer, Patricia Keck. Defendant, Central Taney County Fire Protection District, appears by two of its representatives, and defendant, City of Forsyth, Missouri, appears not, although properly given notice of this hearing. So when she made this ruling, Sandra West, she states in the first part of the judgment that you were represented by Patricia Keck and that the county commission was represented by Frank Cotty.
She states that in the order. But I never once asked Ms. Keck to represent me, or I'm just serving as a collector to the people, and I will abide by the statutes that I'm to abide by. And that's been my whole concern. And I shared with you guys, the commission, this the second time, that my concern that the statutes that I am directed under.
Go ahead, Sheila. It's all right. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I thought you wanted me to.
No. Go ahead.
Okay. I shared with you my concerns that you address these items so that if I were ordered to send out these bills, that I would know how to properly collect them. And Miss, the other statue I was given the other day, when Miss Neely thought she was going to immediately charge me under this same order where it referenced Chapter 321, that statute also says that the officials charged with collecting taxes in each such county shall collect such taxes at the time and in the manner with all like interest and penalties as other taxes collected.
Let me ask you a theoretical question, if I could.
Please.
Let's say that your computer has a problem and that you don't get the tax statements out till after the first of the year. When you send those tax statements out after the first of the year, do you include interest and penalties because the people didn't pay them by December 31st of the previous year? I'm just asking a theoretical question.
No, that's great. No, it's fine. It's covered in the statute.
Go ahead.
The statute's covered. The collector has to send those out by December 1st, or if it's after that time, the customer is given 30 more days. That's covered in the statute.
Okay.
We have to, and that's what I mean. We have to, if I don't follow, and you know, sir, that if...
My question is, if you don't get the taxes out till after the first of the year, are penalties and interest assessed?
Yes, they are in
30
days.
Wow.
I think part of the concern is...
We got to change that law then, don't we? That's absurd.
And that law was written, it used to be, at one time it was the 15th of December, and they moved it to the 30th of December, and now they changed it to 30 days because of the computer program glitch that happened in St. Charles County. So if the collector does not get the bill out, now the only exception to that is your personal property add-ons that are, you know, not covered. And if they fail to file the form with the assessor on the add-ons, then and it's 2011, then they're assessed your 36%.
And that's what we're concerned with.
Well, let me help you, because I think this is pretty simple. You've heard two county commissioners state that we believe that we have the ability to waive those interest and penalties, and if they are assessed and levied, we're going to waive them. At least my vote's going to be to waive any interest and penalty charged these people for those tax years. Now, we will do it under the guidance of Missouri law, and we'll make sure that we do it under advice of our counsel. But rest assured, I'm going to vote that way. I'm not going to see these people pay interest and penalty on those taxes.
But
now we have attorneys based upon your pleas asking the judge to make these changes.
Yes. Just make it clear so they can be collected as a current tax, because there's other statutes, Ron, that require me to collect it before I can collect the 2013.
I understand that, and I understand how we follow the law. I also understand that a court order generally takes precedence if we're ordered.
But the problem is the attorney that pursued to get that says that this is a statute it referenced in Chapter 321, and in this order, and this, it tells me that I have to collect it as all other taxes. And so why not just get it clear when the judge makes the ruling, make it clear that we have no...
I understand all the things that she talked about. I'm just looking at what she ordered. And what she ordered was, we're ordered to levy the taxes not levied previously in favor of Central Tannehill County Fire Protection District, blah, 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 and to pay same to the Central Tannehill County Fire Protection District.
And to follow 136.
No, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say that in her order. It says to assess, levy those taxes, and to collect them. That's what the order says. That's what my order says. Now,
so your order doesn't require us to go...
Well, that's just how I interpret it.
I thought that's what you had said earlier.
It does say that, right.
Okay. So that's where the concern is. And the concern isn't just waiving the penalties interest, Ron. We're also concerned about the taxes.
Well, here's where we're at, Don, and I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yes, you can. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Our concern is also the timing of when the tax bills hit, because everybody's going to be getting their 2013 tax bill, which will be larger than the 2011 and 2012 portion of Central Fire. So we were hoping that could be put on in 2014, so that they would have a year, hopefully. That's what my attorney is trying to do, is to extend that so they have a year to pay that, so that they're not hit prior to the deadline of December 31st with the 2013 tax bill, the 2011, and the 2012. I mean, none of us like that they have to pay it, but if we can make it a little easier on the taxpayer, that is our goal.
Donna, I have no argument with that whatsoever.
I
have no argument whatsoever, and I understand every single bit of that. My question is, why are we here? And why are we in the press if we're following what the court has ordered us to do, and we have councils that are working to the best end in favor of the taxpayers? I don't understand.
We're waiting on that court order. Yeah. Judge Orr, you told me that Judge Orr had to approve that. So we're waiting on that. And so if he's going to approve it, it can all be...
I understand. Why are we... Why am I getting calls late at night going, why is the county commission forcing people to pay double taxation? It's not a true statement.
Any control over the newspaper...
It wasn't the newspaper.
I don't. Danny doesn't. None of us have control over the media.
All my questions came from the radio station. Let me clarify that. And that was a program that was conducted on Sunday.
That was because...
that Sheila was a guest at.
Mr. Ferris was at the court hearing.
Yes, he was.
And he followed us outside and couldn't imagine, explain to us what is it about, what's going on, why would you be here? So that's why.
I kind of agree with the young lady that came up here, Patricia Dooley, and I think we're way beyond where we should be. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of years past, and I hope we can get past it.
We're doing our best to do that.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies.
Unnecessary.
James, anything for last comment? This was your session.
I just know the Missouri state statutes require me to assess property on a yearly basis, and this court orders and all these opinions have been going on for 2.5-3 years. And so we've got to get the taxation process complete, and waiting here and waiting there and then waiting there and then blaming somebody for the wait. By statute, I'm to make the book per year. And the extension of the taxes is through the county clerk. If she was aware of this back 2 years ago, she had the authority to go in and change those codes the way she wanted to. The assessor is not the extension of taxes to the collector. And I don't know why nobody understands that. It's plain in the Missouri state statutes. If she was aware of it, she should have corrected it and took it to the BOE and had it fixed. But that didn't occur. This just keeps dragging on and on. And I'm only here arguing for the new assessor. if he's wondering what I'm doing here. The assessor is strung out to dry on this thing.
I will. I think you know already, sir, but I'll tell you one is the reference in regard to the Attorney General's opinion. Mr. Strahan, after I got the order on the Friday after Thanksgiving, after I got the letter from the attorney saying they were going to go on my bond, I went into Mr. Strahan's office the following Monday, and
I
asked him.
Why are we continuing to fight back and forth?
Well,
why are we doing this?
We're not going to fight, sir. I just want to explain.
That's what we're doing?
No, I don't mean to be.
Well,
you asked how the
both
Attorney
of you.
General. Do you not want to know how the Attorney General opinion came? No? Okay.
Oh, sure.
Oh,
who requested the Attorney General opinion?
Okay.
That's a valid question.
Mr. Strahan, I asked him, I said, James, did you get a legal opinion before you did this? He said, no, but you're the one with the big bond. You can get it now. Get an Attorney General's opinion.
So that's where the Attorney General's
yes,
opinion
sir.
Came from. Thank you. I apologize. I've been hopeful since I first took office that we could conduct these conferences and conversations outside of this venue. Danny, do you have anything else for County Commission today?
No.
I believe that is the last issue that we have. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.